We are celebrating International Week, and we've got two students who are going to be speaking to us, Megan Summers and Andre Chubb. Andre studied in Australia, and Megan in Uganda, and they'll be telling us something about their experiences. What's the basis of taking time for International Week? Well, if you look in your bulletin at the scripture reading, it's a part of Revelation chapter 5, and it's a reminder of who it is that Jesus has come to redeem. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Amen.
Morning, all. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Andre, and like Dean Smith said, I was privileged to study in Australia last spring. How many of you watch The Simpsons? Okay. How many of you have seen the Australia episode? Nice. Okay. Well, this is for you and for those who haven't seen The Simpsons, just to let you know if anybody doesn't know, it's a cartoon. But the Simpsons go to Australia, and one of the big things is that they want to know if the toilet flushes counterclockwise or clockwise. I'm sorry to tell you today that they do neither, actually. It's kind of like an airplane bathroom where the water flushes like straight down. But I will tell you an interesting fact about the Australian toilet, which I think the U.S. needs to adopt. They have this half flush and full flush function where if you do a number one, like you just push the half flush button, so you conserve water, it's very good. And if you do number two, you do the full flush button, which is good for everybody else. I can't describe in detail my 4.5 months down there, but if you care to listen, I'd like to share a little bit about my experience. I went to a small creative arts college called the Wesley Institute. And it was right outside of Sydney. They focused on music, dance, art, graphic design, theater, and theology. One of the interesting things about the school, and this isn't to downplay any of the faculty down here, but all the professors did what they taught. So it was a community school, so the professors would come in like once a week for like 2 or 3 hours. And the rest of the week they would just do what they taught. So my one professor was really into politics and political circles and in that world, and I remember sitting down to breakfast one day and looking at the news, and on the ticker tape newsreel on the bottom, like Keith Suter was giving his opinion on some current event or something. I was like, oh, hey, there's my teacher on the news. And also, like, my jazz band teacher was one of the highly acclaimed jazz artists in the country, so that was pretty interesting. The school was very small, but they were connected with a larger organization called the Wesley Mission, and because of that, they were able to do some things outside the school itself. I was there over Easter, and the school put on some performances, mainly through the theater department and the music department inside the city. They had a Palm Sunday procession where they had a Jesus and they had a real-life donkey, and all of us had palm branches, and we, you know, walked through the city streets of Sydney raising our branches, and then we, you know, went into the park and had a service there, and it was open for anybody. And it was really cool. They had this Easter morning service in the Opera House, and it was live and it was televised, and that was just really, really neat experience. I was able to live with an amazing host family, and this was like one of the highlights of the trip. And they taught me much more about Australia than I ever could have learned in a classroom. The dinner table is this great thing because it combines great food and great conversation and great people all together at the same time. And sitting around my host family's dinner table is no exception. We got to talk about some amazing things, whether it was about Australia or about the United States or about, you know, current events or whatever. And it made it even sweeter because there was three chefs in my house, both my host parents and then their son was being an apprentice chef at the time. Besides my host family, I was able to meet some amazing people, whether it was through the classes I took or the things I did or places I went. One of the classes I took was adventure-based camping ministry, and part of the requirements for the class was to go to a camp and be a leader for a camp of junior high-age kids for a week. The directors of that camp, John and Penny, along with their good friend Gordy, were three of the most amazing people I've met, and because they relied so heavily on the Spirit just to speak to them daily about little things, about big things, and it was just it was really powerful to see, and something I hope to understand more and more as I continue living. Australians have this no worry attitude, and it's expressed verbally, but it's also expressed in just the way they live. So like if you're sitting and you like spill your coffee and like the mug breaks, like it's like no worries, you know, it's not really that big of a deal. But it's also part of just who they are. Like they have this deeper understanding about life and this more appreciative understanding that just flows through them. It's very contagious. It's just like, wow, they don't get worried about all the little things that we just stress over all the time. I got to experience things I'll probably never ever do again. I was able to see a play in the Opera House. I got to swim in the Great Barrier Reef, ride horses in New Zealand, and learn Aborigine. This is funny. I got to learn an Aborigine dance and perform it in front of my classmates that were there in the outback, in a loincloth, around a fire, and. We went to the outback with my American classmates, and it was kind of like a field trip. And this one guy, Ralph, in case you don't know, like the whole Aborigine culture is a lot like the Native American culture of our in the United States. The Aborigines were the first people, the people who lived in Australia before the Europeans came and settled there. And Ralph, this Aborigine, like he was in his 50s, and he really wants to keep the traditions and the culture alive, and he does that by teaching young men these traditions and this culture so they can pass it on. So they taught us a dance, all the men in my trip, which was only like four other guys, but we got some okra paint and, you know, painted our bodies all over, stripped down, gotten some loins, and you got like a spear. And one of the dances was this emu dance, which if you've never danced like an emu, you might want to try it. I'm going to demonstrate a little bit of what it's like, and then if you ever want to try it with me, you know, we can get a fire and do some dances. So this is kind of what an emu dance is like. Thanks. You know, there's some, like, clapping and instruments and sort of singing that goes along with it, but it was just great. Overall, it was a great experience. Like, I'm sure, like, if I asked you, like, what's the value in studying abroad, I'm sure you guys would understand, like, well, you get to experience a different culture and, you know, broadens your horizons and all that, and that's true. Some of the things I learned was how we had these assumptions, like, when I was telling people about going to Australia, they would say things to me like, oh, you better watch your wallet, because, you know, the first Europeans that came over there were convicts, so everybody's a convict. Or people assume that everybody talks like Steve Irwin, this, like, flamboyant personality, or that kangaroos just, like, hop around all over the place freely, kind of like the squirrels on campus. And none of these things are true, but we think in these narrow terms because of our ignorance, and a lot of times what the media portrays, kind of going back to the Simpsons example. But studying abroad breaks these barriers down and these assumptions down, and you get to really experience another culture with all your senses. This is something my director really emphasizes, that, you know, you don't get just to see Australia, but you get to really see Australia, and you get to hear it, and you get to touch it, and you get to smell it, and you get to taste it. You get to live differently, even if only for a few months. It was really liberating packing my life into two backpacks, not having a cell phone or a car or my computer, walking or taking public transportation everywhere, learning the bus and train routes, hanging my clothes up to dry, trying different foods, having people ask questions about America, going to the markets, and just traveling around. The experience allows you to step out of the world you live in right here, go somewhere and live differently, and then say, well, I can look at my life back in the States, and you know, is the life I live something I really want to go back to exactly how I left it, or are these things that I'm learning challenging me to change and to apply so when I go back, I can live a little differently? And finally, simply put, you learn a lot about yourself. I can go into detail, but this is what happens. If you're seriously thinking about it, or even just thinking about it today, talk to Anne, talk to Nancy, talk to Megan or myself or anybody who studied abroad, and just find more about it. Thanks.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Megan, and I was able to study abroad in Uganda last spring during the same time that Andrea was in Australia. And in case you didn't notice, I'm wearing a typical Ugandan dress. I'll step out so you guys can see. The main attraction of this dress is roosters. And I did not pick out this material myself. My Ugandan father actually did. I probably wouldn't have chosen that myself. But if you were Ugandan right now, you'd all be thinking how amazing I looked, because honestly, this is very respected wear. So I'm just going to pretend you guys are all Ugandan. I look really hot right now, okay? All right, so I'm going to give you an overview of my experience. Basically, I chose to go to Uganda for two main reasons. I wanted a very different experience, very different culture than America. The second reason was I wanted to speak English, simply. They do speak another language, but English is their second language, so I was able to speak English as well. This right here is a picture of the university I went to. People didn't actually sit on the side all the time. This was during our campus elections. But the main thing that I did there was go to the university, take classes, met most of my friends there. We had people come from like Kenya, Burundi, Rwanda, as well as Uganda, Sudan. So it was a very diverse culture, even within Africa. A lot of the friends I met, I even became close with some people in northern Uganda, and that's that was definitely a hard part of my experience, to learn more just on a personal level what they went through. And I know you guys have probably heard about invisible children or things like that. It became a lot more real living with these people and living in a dorm with them and getting to know them. I was also able to play volleyball. They had a volleyball team there at the university. And one thing also we were able to do on our study abroad was pick one place where we could do a service project. Some people worked with orphanages. Some people worked with people with AIDS. I chose actually to work with some orphans in the street. Like, they made their livelihood on the street. The next picture is some of the... you can show the next picture. Okay. The next picture... Oh, that's some of the boys that we were able to talk with. Like, we would go down there, maybe bring them some food, really just disciple and mentor and talk to them. Other things we were able to do was travel and just see. Like, we were right by Lake Victoria and the Nile. We also got to do a safari. And this next picture is when I was on my safari. Like, we actually had finished our game drive, and then after we were setting up our camp and getting ready to go to bed, and this elephant just like walks through our campsite. That was definitely one of my favorite experiences. The next one is we got to whitewater raft the Nile, and that was incredible. Just like being able to, I'd never whitewater rafted before in the first place, but also just being able to do it on the Nile. You saw like the culture there. You saw the people. They bathed there. They washed their clothes there. They drink. They fish. Like, everything on the Nile. And so, like, not only just being able to do that fun experience, but like seeing the culture. Definitely one of the best experiences was being on my homestays. I went to two different homestays. This next picture is one of the huts I stayed in, and then the picture after that is a family that I lived with, and this was probably one of the hardest experiences, but definitely the best. I learned like women's roles and how, like within the first few minutes there, they were showing me how to bow to my elders, that I had to bow before my father and like respect him. I had to, my main daily chores were just to cook, to dig for potatoes, to fetch the water from the borehole. These things like I had to immediately adjust myself to and realize that my role was going to be completely different there. I learned to bathe in a bucket. They would give us a bucket of about an inch of water in it, and we had to just, you know, basically just splash it on. And, you know, they don't really have to wash their hair because they've got it in braids, or they will get it done, like, once a month. But for me, I had to, like, you know, dig my head in the bucket and try to figure out how to wash my hair. We learned how to use the squatty potty, as we like to call it. But one thing I just loved about the family was learning the community there, and like their extended family is all within like 20 minutes walking distance, like nieces, nephews, grandma, and like everyone you'd walk past they knew, and people would come over to the house and we'd just sit and just enjoy time together. And community was definitely one thing like I realized I never understood what it was, and even though I was there for months, I got a little glimpse of it, and it was incredible just to spend time. And when we just all, like, here's a picture of us, like, we would just sit on the porch and just talk, like, because the sun would go down at 6:30, and what else are you going to do? There's no electricity. You're just sitting there. Let's talk and just have fun. Now, you might be wondering what things in Uganda made it completely different culture. I'll just give you guys some ideas. The dress, of course, was different. The food, we would eat, like, basically our main things to eat were rice, beans, posho, this stuff like flour and water, and really good fruits, actually, pineapples, bananas, mangoes. That was one thing I enjoyed after you got kind of sick of the rice and beans. Eating, when I'm at my homestay, something that they think about eating whenever they serve you food, whenever they have a guest over, if you don't leave fatter than when you came, that is an insult to them. They want to make sure you are well fed. So if I were to say, oh, you know, that was good food, I'm really full, that was wonderful, that would be a complete insult. So I had to keep eating and eating and eating. And like, when I was sick of another piece of, like, looking at another piece of rice, I just had to keep eating to be polite. And that was definitely an interesting experience. Time is very different to them. They can say, all right, say for, like, when I played with the volleyball team, all right, we're going to have a tournament. We have to meet here at 8 o'clock sharp. We didn't leave till noon that day. And I'm not even kidding. Those people, like, it's like they knew it. We would talk about it. Like, they've got some kind of, like, interconnection in their heads. They all know they're not going to leave till noon because most of them would show up at, like, 11 anyways. Power, that's one thing. Uganda shares power with Kenya, so every other night there's no power in the entire country, except for generators. So those nights I absolutely loved and hated at the same time. If I was doing homework, I'd have to do it by candlelight. Or if I was with my family, we just sit and like enjoy our time together. And I ended up loving those sometimes too. Another thing that was really different was friendship. And the way that they express friendship is through holding hands. And whether it's guys and guys, girls and girls, or guys and girls, it all means just friendship. And this was hard enough for me to accept, like with my friends, like they just grab my hand and hold it and like we just walk along. But whenever I'd see guys holding hands, I would look at them, even like 4 months being there, I would just like watch them walk across campus, like how is out of my cultural like frame of mind. And I've kind of been debating if I should tell this embarrassing story, but I think I'm going to tell it anyways. I've been going back and forth. This was another very cultural extreme that I had to adjust myself to. This was on my second day at my homestay, so I'm getting used to the I'm getting used to the women's roles. I'm getting used to like bowing before my dad. Like everything is completely new. I feel really out of my comfort zone completely. And then the second day we're there, my family's all excited. They're saying, all right, we're going to take you to this cool anniversary event. There's going to be dancing and food, and it's, you know, something traditional you can get to know the culture from. So I'm like, all right, cool, you know, and they're getting me, I'm in the living room. They're bringing out these, like, dresses. Now, this is, like, what I have on is a traditional dress, but there's even more traditional, and it has, like, these puffy sleeves. It's like, silk. It's got, like, 10 layers on the bottom because, you know, traditionally, African women are very beautiful with big hips, big butt. Like, that's something that they view as beautiful. And so they're getting me fitted. And, like, my family's there, my brothers, my sisters, some of the neighborhood people. I mean, first of all, I'm, like, one of the only white people within, like, an hour walking distance. So this I'm very interesting to watch anyways. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, they're probably going to, you know, fit me for this, and I'm going to go to my room and then try it on. But as I, you know, I had been observing, like, okay, my sisters, like, this is the first day there, I was observing how, okay, they're talking to me bare-breasted sometimes. And that, to them, like, the waist upward is utility only. More so in the villages, the university life, it's become more westernized. But I'm like, okay, you know, honestly, you know, this is just for them. They're not going to make me do anything like this. Well, to my surprise, they, okay, now take off your shirt. We're going to get you. And I'm like, my brothers are here. The neighbors are around. And I was like, I don't want to, like, offend them. And then I'm like, okay. And within, like, 2 seconds, like, millions of thoughts are going through my head. And I'm thinking, you know, although if I were to do this, I would probably be more modest than, like, someone, say, at the beach. But for me, that was, like, you know, breaking all the barriers that I've ever thought of, like, morality, you know, modesty. And it was, like, as I did, I'm like, you know what? They honestly, they don't care. This is something that has only been something I've held on to because my culture has said, or the way I've grown up has said that it is better, that it is more modest this way or than another way. And just kind of relating that to bigger things that I learned there, I had to step out of my cultural box and, like, realize the way I view God, the way I view Christianity is not as much, like, black and white, right or wrong. The way, like, I saw people holding hands like that, I just step out of my comfort zone and be like, all right, they're holding hands, but that just means friendship. And, like, although I've grown up this way, I have to see outside that box, and I have to see outside my Christian box and the way I view God, the way I view myself, the way I view just the world. And that was definitely very hard to realize those things because it's something you want to hold on to. But I'm really glad I experienced that, and I'm glad I got to experience just the very different culture, the very different things. I'm not going to guarantee you guys that these things might happen to you if you went to Uganda, but I will guarantee that, like, you're going to learn tons of new things. You're going to laugh. You're going to cry. Like, these things are very worth it. And I recommend Uganda to you, although it's not for everybody. And I thank you for your time.